You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast. Zoneradio.co.za. Crispy and St. Peter's there, and the Pied Piper. All of that brings the time to 9 minutes past four. And it is time for us to welcome Steve Reed back into the studio on the Entrepreneur Zone. And he's going to be speaking to us about what?
Silverpreneurship.
Silverpreneurship. Welcome back, Steve. How are you?
Richard, really happy to be back. Thank you for this privilege. Always lovely to come in. And I'm sure the listeners know, but what happens with this, it becomes a podcast, which just adds a little bit of value to be able to spread it further than immediately listening to it. But I'm so glad the listeners are there, and we want to look at what about the silverpreneur. So I suppose the question is, what are you talking about?
The question has been for a while.
So a silverpreneur is, as its name suggests, someone with silver or whitish hair, which suggests that they are older, and they may have come through the ranks and they reaching retirement age. So they are or were salaried people. And they're saying, well, what about the second chapter of my life? Does it mean full stop and retirement, or does it mean pause and refinement? So just to help a little bit about silverpreneurship, here's a definition. The idea behind this concept means individuals nearing retirement who launched a new business after a career as a salaried worker. And you can imagine there are quite a few people. Demographics show that there's quite a lot more people in the 50-plus category than there used to be 20 years ago, etc. It's just people are living longer, etc. So what is it that we're particularly addressing in silverpreneurship? It's the whole concept of what about taking your years of experience and insight and wisdom and adding value to others through starting your own business and adding value to others. Maybe staying within the same field that you were in. That's a good one to look at to start off with. But in order to set the scene, I just want to give the listeners a bit of a background. You know, there's a mythology that's built around the young men of Silicon Valley, who are the founders and grab vast amounts of VC money to become overnight billionaires. You can think of the Elon Musks, the Mark Zuckerbergs, the Steve Jobs as great success stories. However, the facts differ. Around true success differ, you see, because older entrepreneurs are more successful. That's what research shows. According to a study, a 50-year-old founder is approximately twice as likely to have their startup acquired than a founder at age 30. That's based on an analysis of 2.7 million founders. In the past, entrepreneurship was never a young person's game. Looking at history, you can point to the great innovators like Henry Ford and then Ray Kroc, who at the age of 52 bought McDonald's and then grew it, and so it became the world's biggest fast food franchise. And 1979, Tim and Nina Zagat were both 51-year-old, and they began the Zagat restaurants. I don't know of that brand, but apparently it's a big brand in America. Arianna Huffington launched the Huffington Post at 55. Julia Wainwright founded her fashion company, The Real Real, when she was in her mid-50s. Dr. Katie Roden and Dr. Kathy Fields were 44 and 46 when they founded skincare company Roden and Fields. Eric Yun is probably the youngest of these older entrepreneurs, founded Zoom at the age of 41, and the list goes on. Older entrepreneurs are a significant and growing demographic in the entrepreneurial ecosystem, both in the US and Europe. and factors that contribute to the segment's growth include aging boomers and exes have aged out of corporate careers due to ageism.
Mm.
I didn't know ageism is a thing, but it's a thing. There's longer life expectancy and increased health. There's changing attitudes towards retirement and the desire for personal fulfillment and financial security. The ability to create value and to be part of the creator economy. And number five, founding your own business that allows for remote work makes it even more enticing. Mm. So the truth is the entrepreneurial demographic is changing. Over 60% of entrepreneurs in 1996, 28 years ago, were under 44, with the majority under 34. Fast forward to 21, that's 3 years ago, and we see that the starting ventures in the U.S. across all age ranges, with the most significant growth coming from the entrepreneurs over 55. The silverpreneur segment grew from 14% to nearly 23%. And will expand as younger boomers and older exes age out of the corporate workforce. So that's a little bit of the background. Now, I wrote an article, if the readers want to, the listeners want to read up on it, it's available.
It will also be, just let me say, a link in our podcast so people will be able to access it from there.
Thank you, Richard. It's quite correct that a large part of the entrepreneurial focus is on those who are under the age of 35. Rightly so, with the unacceptably high levels of unemployment in our country's youth. Like, you know, 60% plus. And that forms 90% of my own focus as well. But the bigger question is, how do we create an economic environment where many jobs are being created? And it's not only about which age group are you working on, but it's about who. It's widely acknowledged that business and government together will only contribute a small part of this to the desired future. So it's up to the so-called small businesses to create the future jobs. In other words, they're saying we need by 2030 11 million jobs. If we have that, we're in a very strong position. But government and business, big business, is only going to contribute 5-10% to that. Maybe.
No, in fact, big business very often is shedding jobs.
So that brings in this thought of the silverpreneur. Silver entrepreneurship, just a reminder, are those who are nearing retirement. Now, of course, retirement age can vary. It's not necessarily 65 or 60. It can be lower. But they've been in a successful career as a salaried person. So here's a statistic to consider. 35% of businesses are started and run by people over 50. Older people and those returning to the work environment later in life have a huge contribution to make to the small business community. So I'm aware that I may be speaking to people, our listeners, who may be quite a few who are in that category. And I want to ask you to listen with empathy, because this may be something that you can consider. So after serving and assisting approximately 500 small businesses over the past 20 years, I've started my own business in my silverpreneur years, and that was nearly 3 years ago, not quite 30 months ago. What lessons as a silverpreneur can I leave with you, listeners? Firstly, I absolutely hold to this thing of start with why, or play fixedly and relentlessly to your purpose. The Simon Sinek, in his business book, which is called Start With Why, asks the question, or makes the statement, start with your why, and then the how and the what, etc., follows. But if you're not sure of that, then get sure. Push until you know what gets you out of bed, what moves you, what causes you to become angry, what causes you to feel empathy. This relates to the big why, which you purpose to do what you will do. It's your true north. The world of entrepreneurship beckoned me over 20 years ago, and my fascination with it has not got any less. It has, in fact, been the fuel for why I do what I do. When you know your why, the what and the how will follow. Being clear on your why will reinforce your focus during seasons of disappointments and discouragements. I want to suggest that if you don't know your why, then commit time and resources to unpacking what that means. Because if you launch and you're not sure of your why and you're just going through the motions, when the inevitable stumbling blocks come, you may be overwhelmed. But when the stumbling blocks come and you're sure of your why, you have an incredible reason to push through. Secondly, listeners, be unique. Tap into your years of experience to offer value to others in a unique and special way. After all, if you stop adding value to others, why would they continue to support you? Mm. So what worked 20 years ago is not necessarily relevant for now. And we've seen that in the fast-moving technology, etc. You've really got to keep pace with things. But part of my own purple car, and I like to use that analogy, everyone's seen a brown car, black car, white car, but no one's seen a purple car. So if you can make your business offering a purple car, it becomes remarkable because people remark about it. Mm. So part of my own USP is a relentless focus on the jockey, the entrepreneur, the person. Mm. So a lot of the material that I work with, etc., talks to how do I build grit? How do I grow this thing called resilience? How do I become stronger mentally? Research has shown that 70% of the reason a business fails has to do with the jockey and only 30% with the horse. Mm. In other words, the actual business processes. By constantly reminding clients of their needs to embrace the growth mindset, I believe I've kept myself current and relevant. 2 weeks ago, I went to Port Elizabeth and I held a boot camp there for about in the Nelson Mandela University for the Center for Entrepreneurship Rapid Incubator. And I didn't know much about what was going to be there, except that I knew that there were young people, and mostly under the age of 35. And I knew that most of them were in some way tied to the university. So I thought to myself, wow, you know, what do I offer in this boot camp? What's the most value that I can? And I was kind of wanting to put a lot of emphasis on the horse, which I did. But then I remembered, Steve, the thing that you say makes you different is an emphasis on the jockey. And for that reason, I brought in two guest speakers, Matt Bromley, the big wave surfer, who spoke on developing the storm rider mindset.
Mm-hmm.
What's that? That's not about the horse stuff. That's about the jockey stuff. Mm. And a friend who's an educational psychologist who spoke and unlocked the thought of playing to your strengths. Be unique, listeners. Number three, taking your experience and passion further. Part of the reason for the silver hair that you have, for the lines in the face, is the rich history of experience you have within a particular field. The trick lies in believing that you have much value to offer clients within that industry. You know, you can have a crisis of confidence. You can kind of think, well, you know, these young fellas coming through, they just know everything, etc. Well, they may be quicker. They may have incredible exposure to a vast amount of information. But one thing that you alone can have, mostly above those, are the experiences, not only of successes, of how you handled some severe challenges, etc. And that is so valuable. So I'm grateful for the 40-odd years of experience that I've had within community, corporate, and a coaching context. All of those have contributed to the business that I now run. Listeners, how about you?
Mm.
The fourth thing is business planning. I am not a huge advocate for business plans, but I am a big fan of business planning. So in preparation for your new venture, I would really want to recommend that you make two lists. The first is pretty obvious. It's around what do I need to run? What do I need to be compliant? What do I need to start? You know, what tools, what resources, and who will be my clients? And by the way, you should always be thinking about starting where you are solving a real problem. This is where due diligence is the key. So do that first list. But the second list, listeners, is a more personal one. This list addresses what you need to become and what you need to overcome to lead your business. I want to say that again, what you need to become. Because you start a business does not equal I am an entrepreneur. Mm. You have to become, you have to choose, you have to practice the mindset of an entrepreneur. So what do you need to overcome? All aspiring entrepreneurs will face different fears. It's part of the journey. Yet the secret lies in pushing through your comfort zone, through fears, into the learning and growth zones. As Matt Bromley has said, your best life lies on the other side of your fears. Number five, the place of growth, the growth mindset and grit. One thing playing in the silver-headed people's favor is that grit normally you develop as you grow older.
Mm.
Doesn't mean you can't have it as you're younger, but part of the joy of life is that you can develop grit. Starting your own business is not that difficult, but leading and growing it into 2 and 5 year time frames is far more challenging. You know the statistics, Richard, that in the first 2 years, up to 50% of businesses that started close. One of the factors that could accelerate your growth is embracing the so-called growth mindset. Perhaps some people will say, well, Steve, you're too old to start. Don't you know how difficult it is, particularly at your age? And your response could be, well, aging is inevitable, but growing old is a choice.
Mm.
You know my wife, Richard, and she is like the little cricket that would sit on Pinocchio's shoulder. She is my conscience. She knows what I'm like in and out of season. And I think I can say that she will safely say that I display an energy in advance over and above my age now. Hopefully it's around 40 years old. And it's got something to do with, trying to stay fit and healthy. But it's also trying to stay fit and healthy in your mind and in your heart. And you have that opportunities, listeners. Even if you don't start a business, even if you're reaching retirement age, I want to say to you that embracing and working diligently on the growth mindset will help you immensely in the next chapter of your life. So I made the choice to fuel my passion consistently. I'm also consistently asking myself, where can I grow? Listeners, how about you? Number six, this second last one, the value of great partnerships. So my own business has been running now for nearly 30 months. One of the secrets I've discovered is using great outsourced service providers. I make use of a digital marketing business. Bronwyn puts the stuff onto LinkedIn and posts things onto Facebook, etc. And Ben is my accountant to ensure that I stay on the right side of compliance and SARS, etc. And I want to make sure that in the area of marketing and finance. I am compliant, I remain fresh, and I continue to add value. And you know what that does? It releases me to work more on my business than in my business. Mm. Otherwise, I'd be doing the stuff myself. And that, ladies and gents, is an investment you should gladly make. And finally, the seventh thing that I would lesson is that sweat your networks. Sweat them. And that means to mine them, to use them, to think about who you connected to, how can that add value. Always be asking yourself, not what can they do for me, but what can you open for them? What value can you bring to them? Remember that your networks are your net worth. During your 30 or 40 years of building within a corporate or government or community situation, you've built up unique links to a broad range of businesses and peoples and other people in your ecosystem. In fact, you may have built a trusting relationship with quite a lot of people, and they trust the business behind you. And now you're starting your own business. In starting your own business, don't forget to leverage those many years of the past to help shape the years of the future. Here's to many other silverpreneurs, Richard, starting to say, let me think differently about 2025. I want to leave three thoughts with our listeners. Anyone who's thinking, oh, I want to go a little bit deeper. Number one, consider volunteering. I know that Zone Radio has quite a few volunteer radio announcers, etc. That's wonderful. And there are many, many deserving organizations where you can volunteer. Now, why would you do that? Well, that will give you some time whilst you're doing something, whilst you continue to contribute, that gives you some time to add, to think about what is it that's my true north. Number two, consider becoming a mentor. There is a movement called the National Mentorship Movement. There is an organization called 50 Plus Skills. And they love the thought of people who are skilled and experienced and wise who could be mentors. Sometimes that mentorship is paid for. But consider a mentorship. And then thirdly, and this is a bit more local, this is let's see what can happen. I'd like to suggest that in quarter one of 2025, we look at, I'll drive it, we look at having a igniting silverpreneurship in the Deep South.
Mm.
We look at dedicating a Saturday or something to it. We try and keep the costs minimal or as low as possible just to cover the costs. But hopefully there could be firelighters. There could be activities and key networks that are unlocked, that people who attend that could go away with more direction.
Wow. While you were talking there, the one person we never mentioned, and it's always been a mind-blowing statistic for me, is Colonel Sanders was over 80.
Exactly.
In Kentucky. So, it's never too late is what we're saying here. And there's so much that you bring with you to the point where you feel it's you know, you can do this. I know I was well over 50 when we started Zone Radio. So, I do see what you're saying, and I've lived it and experienced it. I was speaking to a lady early in the week, and she shall remain nameless, but her and her husband are starting a business now. And I said to her, well, how old is he? He's over 60. I said, wow, that's a gutsy thing to do. But he brings with him so much experience that it's almost impossible for him to fail.
Yeah.
So, I think that this message is going to hit home to a lot of people who maybe. I was speaking to a guy this morning, just, you know, a total stranger, and he's in the Navy, and he's going to retire. And I said, what are you going to do after you retire? And he said to me, nothing. And my only thought, a nice chap, my only thought was like, What a waste. What a waste.
You know, nothing is appealing if you've had a very busy life, but it's appealing for how long?
Yeah.
3 months?
Yeah.
And then you start to lose that long for that interaction, that thing that...
So, I think that is a very inspiring message, Steve. Thank you very, very much.
Thanks, Richard. Thank you, listeners.
All right, that is our Entrepreneur Zone, and his name is Steve Reed. Look at the podcast, folks. There is an article that he has written on this very topic. The link will be in that podcast, and you'll be able to latch onto that and find out more. There is a message that has come through here that says, so many people get depressed about retiring. This is very inspirational for those people.
Thank you, Richard. And there are actually some amazing champions who themselves in retirement have got resources that they are making freely available. Mm. I think of two people, Linda Smith from 50 Plus Skills and Paul Britton, who runs a retirement type series, not so much focusing on the financial side, but more on working through the mind side and your emotions. So wonderful resources there.
Amazing. Steve, thank you very, very much. We'll see you in 2 weeks' time. And folks, check out the podcast and the link, especially the link on the podcast.